It's time to talk Mariners baseball.
Holy smokes!
With spring training just around the corner, we're geared up for baseball.
This is at the wall, and it is gone into the bullpen for a two-run homer. Some serious hang time from Nelson Cruz.
It's the Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Sports app.
Hour number two of a very special edition Hot Stove Show here from Safeco Field right outside the KeyBank Diamond Club. This has been just an off-the-charts great show so far. D. Gordon, Ryan Healy, Mike Zunino, and we kick off the second hour with another familiar face. Mitch Haniger, Mariners right fielder, joins us. Mitch, it's great to see you. How are you, man?
I've been doing great. It's good to be on here with you guys.
What's it like coming back to Safeco Field this time of year?
It's always nice to be in Seattle. I don't care what time of year it is. So when I got the call to come up, I said, of course, and I love Seattle, so we're excited to get up here.
Did I hear correctly that you are a homeowner in Seattle now?
Yep, first home, West Seattle.
Congrats, man.
Thank you.
That's terrific news. What was the thought process in that? Because I know for a lot of guys, the idea of buying property, especially in a real estate market like Seattle, is kind of a dicey thing, right, when you're a player.
Yeah. So where I'm from, the market's a little worse. So in the Bay Area, it's a little more than Seattle. That was a big issue. And, you know, we like it up here, and we spend 6 months of the year up here every year. So we decided to make this home.
Fantastic. Down in California, your off-season workout, I see some videos every now and then. You have a place where you work out. You kind of really kind of get into more of the higher tech things. What are some of the things that you've been doing?
Just a lot of like powerlifting and sprinting and med ball throws, kind of just preparing for a long season. Very similar to every off-season the past 4 years, 5 years. And I've been training at a place called Sparta Science since 2011. And this year's been going great, better than every year prior. And I say that every year, but it's actually the truth. Every year I feel the best shape of my life going into the next season. And hopefully throughout the rest of my career, that's how I feel every single offseason.
How much of that is, you know, staying in baseball shape, getting into baseball shape, and how much is that skills? And what kind of impact does it have on baseball skills, that kind of work that you do in the offseason?
Definitely a mix of both. For me, the training stuff, I really enjoy weightlifting and sprinting and all that kind of stuff. For some guys, it's kind of a chore, but I like it. When I get home, I get back into the gym and start working out and trying to get ready for the next year. And as well as in November, I usually start slightly swinging and start build up as it goes, because in my mind, I can always tailor it back if I'm getting too ready too fast. And I never want to feel like I'm like, oh no, spring training's in 4 weeks. I feel like I'm so far from being ready. I'm kind of the opposite. I go, okay, I can take 2 days off, and I feel comfortable with that. So I've been traveling around to LA a couple different times, hitting with some hitting guys and trying to just get smarter and gain some more knowledge on my swing and be able to make adjustments throughout the year.
So you hit almost year-round.
Yeah, I take a full month off and then slowly ease back into it.
Well, it's got to be, you know, last year kind of a bittersweet year. I mean, you obviously proved that you can play at a very high level, but then you had injuries and some of that you obviously cannot control. But my guess is, coming here, that you're walking into this season it's not trepid for you. You got to feel like enormously confident based upon those great stretches you had last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good things to build off last year and good things to kind of go back in the off season and plan around to see if I can get better at certain things I've been working on, and it's been going well. And just always trying to improve in everything. I think that's the biggest thing, trying to learn and improve. This year, definitely feel confident, and I felt very confident coming in last year as well. But just seeing how the American League is and the competition within our division and how great that is, I'm looking forward to setting back on the field as soon as possible.
Mariners right fielder Mitch Haniger is our guest here on the Hot Stove Show. You know, Mitch, a lot of guys take a little vacation at the end of the season, right? Well-earned, and maybe some go to Hawaii. You went to Hawaii, but this does not seem like it was for a vacation. Can you tell us all the good stuff that you're up to there?
Yeah, so we were in Hilo, Hawaii with More Than a Game Baseball. It's a nonprofit organization. We go to mostly inner cities or of areas of need and renovate their baseball fields and try to, you know, revive the city and spread the love of the game to places that where it might not be very popular. And luckily in Hilo, the community there was unbelievable. They were so pumped for us to be out there, and a couple of the dads came out every day to help us out to work on the field, and two of them, you know, had access to tractors and stuff like that. So we were able to renovate two of their fields.
So you're physically doing this work.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't expecting it to be that hard of work, but it was tough. I got a different appreciation for what the ground crew does for our field every year. But yeah, it was a good time. Got to work hand in hand with the kids and share the love of the game with them.
What was it like to kind of hand over a field to them and see them? Okay, this is for you guys.
It was cool. Yeah, and they were pretty pumped. We cleaned up a lot of trash. Cleaned up. They had a clubhouse there that kind of. There's a big homeless population in Hilo, and some people were actually living in the clubhouse there. So
really?
We had to knock some stuff down and clear it out. And you know, they said that they were going to board it up before we left, so to keep people from living in there. But it was good. They were real happy.
You had the opportunity. You've got some new teammates. We've already talked to a couple of them today, and one of them is going to be new to the outfielder. Have you had a chance to chat with D. Gordon yet?
I met him briefly, and we were in Scott's office all talking for a little bit, but I'm looking forward to getting to know him better, and met Ryan as well. Talked to Ryan a little bit whenever he would play first, and I'd get on base last year. And tomorrow we're going to lunch together, so we'll have to get to know each other a little better then.
Good.
You know, the news of the day, obviously, around baseball, and especially here in Seattle, is Edgar coming just short 70.4% of the vote to get into Cooperstown, needing 75. It is evident, Mitch, to anyone who follows you on social media, that you have a pretty serious liking to your hitting coach, and not only in the information that you share, decide to retweet, but also you got in a really interesting Twitter conversation. Kind of sharing a story of Edgar in the batting cage, just smoking line drives back and forth or up and up up through the middle of the field. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is like for you working with Edgar? And clearly a relationship has blossomed very quickly over a year.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I mean, to learn from a guy who's that good and just that good of a – I mean, why I'm so attracted to Edgar is how good of a person he is and how always, he's so prepared every day as a coach. And I know that's how he was as a player. So, to me, it's someone I look up to. So I'm trying to gain as much knowledge as I can from him on a daily basis.
This is more. So this goes beyond just the.
Yeah, I mean, total package.
Sure.
Everything, family man, great. Everything about the guy. I haven't found something I haven't liked yet. So it's been good.
Did you ever find yourself? Because I think this is one of the questions when Edgar was originally hired. How would, especially young hitters, react to approaching Edgar for help? Right, because he is. Well, let's see. He's got the award named after him, the street named after him, the restaurant named after him. I mean, he's Edgar Martinez. What was that like for you when you first started working with Edgar?
It's been pretty easy because he's so humble and kind and easy to talk to. So it was no.
He doesn't point to the Edgar sign and
say,
"That's me."
You know, yeah, he doesn't have this big ego where you're kind of scared off by him. He understands the game. He understands how hard it can be. And I never got the impression of him, you know, it was that easy. Just go and do it.
Right.
Where some guys, they can come off that way. So for me, it's always been good. And last year, I talked to him a lot, but I didn't as much as I'd like to because we were kind of, you know, I was a rookie and I was getting to know everybody. But this year, I'm looking forward to picking his brain a lot more.
I remember a couple of years ago, some of the players would say they would try and find ways to get Edgar to hit because they wanted to see him hit.
Yeah.
Do you guys still do that a little bit of it? How much has he hit out on the?
I haven't. So spring training was the only time I saw him hit,
okay.
And I saw enough I needed to see. Me and Valencia were hitting off the curveball machine on the field, and it was they were pretty nasty. Like I was struggling for the first couple pitches, and then finally started hitting some line drives, and some of the fans were behind the fence screaming for Edgar, and me and Valencia were egging him on, and we didn't think he would actually do it, but then he hopped in, grabbed a random bat, and the first three were line drive missiles, and like that's I can't do that. After taking a month off in the off season, and this he comes in after I don't know how many years off and just hits line drive after line drive. It's unbelievable.
When you look at what this lineup will be for the Mariners this season, how excited are you?
Really excited.
I mean, this is going to be
no
an incredible lineup.
There's no holes. Yeah, everybody's got to stay healthy and just do their part. I mean, keep it simple and just stay within yourself. I mean, everyone, we have protection at every spot.
Mm-hmm. Your biggest takeaway in terms of growth from last season, Mitch?
Nothing crazy that jumps out at me. Just trying to be a professional and learn and help other guys as well. I think it's huge to be able to – baseball's such a tough game. There's a lot of negativity around, you know, when you don't have good games, and that happens a lot. Because it's not a very – you know, being a hitter, it's not – you don't find success every single game. So just helping another guy out when he's not doing well, I think that really brings the team morale up and – brings up another guy when, you know, you might be feeling good and, you know, hopefully he'll do the same for you.
That sounds very Nelson Cruz-like, although Nelly doesn't struggle much.
No. Yeah, he doesn't struggle. I think he had like three bad games last year.
But, I mean, he is a guy that, and we've all spoken to Nelson about this, that is a guy who is obviously a DH and is not on the field all that often, except when he's in the batter's box. He stays locked in by talking to you guys.
Yes. Yeah, I admire him for how good of a leader he is. Trying to learn from that guy as well. You know, one day I hope to be still playing at the age he is and helping younger guys.
Mitch, this has been a lot of fun, man. We appreciate you stopping by. It's always good to see you.
And, thank you for having me.
We are, we're pumped for what 2018 holds for Mitch Haniger and the Mariners.
Same here. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man. There is Mitch Haniger. Boy, this has been, I'm telling you, you know, we got Scott Service coming up, and this is going to be tough for Scott because we've got, and we're 4 for 4, Shannon. Right?
4 for 4 and getting stories, too.
And getting stories. D, Ryan Healy, Zanino, of course, now Mitch Haniger, and Scott Service will be joining us in just a few moments. We'll add a Safeco Field Suites to your list of places to check out in 2018, whether hosting clients and coworkers or family and friends. You and your guests will enjoy Mariners baseball from the comfort of a private suite. This premium seating option includes game tickets, VIP parking, private Skybridge entry, and catering credit. For more information, just check out mariners.com/premium. Hot Stove Show, the special edition here from Safeco Field, carries on. When we come back, the skipper, Scott Service, joins us after this timeout.
Back to more of the Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Now, some good news. Single-game tickets are on sale now, which means you can lock in your seats to some of the biggest games of the year, including opening night, kids' opening day, fireworks nights, big matchups against the Yankees, the Dodgers, and many more. Get ready for Mariners baseball at Safeco Field, and you can visit any Mariners team store or Mariners.com to pick up your tickets. Welcome back inside the Hot Stove Show. A very special edition here from inside Safeco Field. Aaron Goldsmith, Shannon Dreher, Bill Krueger, joined now by the skipper, Scott Service. Skip, it's good to see you. How are things?
Good to see you guys. It's great to see you. I've been listening to a few podcasts.
Oh, are you a podcast? Thank you for downloading.
With our general manager, it's amazing what I've picked up over this offseason and some of the crazy stories you guys have gotten into. So I will stay away from the podcast with you.
Oh, no, it's harmless. It's harmless. Okay. Have you been able to, you know, kick your feet up at least a little bit this offseason?
Not much. You know, it's offseasons go by really quick, and it's not a bad thing, but you know, I think with, you know, some of the changes we've made in our coaching staff, we did some interviews early in the off season to add some new guys. We got caught up in the Ohtani thing that took a few weeks there and some time. And then, you know, I did get some opportunity around the holidays, spend some time with family and travel a little bit. But, you know, once the new year hits, it's spring training right around the corner. And I'm excited, can't wait to get going. We've got a couple new additions to the ball club, getting to spend some time with those guys. And I think our fans are really going to be able to connect with those guys and bring him back and hopefully stay healthy this year. We've got a lot to look forward to.
Kind of some different configurations with the coaching staff. And then the addition of the high performance director, Dr. Lorena Martin. It seems like things behind the scenes and the access that your athletes have to different kinds of help is going to be very different.
Yeah, we're going to a little bit different model at the pitching. We've hired two new pitching guys to come in to help Mel Stottlemyer. And new bullpen coach, Brian DeLunas, comes to us. A little bit different background. You know, worked at the University of Missouri, worked with some Max Scherzer and some of those guys when he was over there. He'll go into our bullpen and helping kind of in an assistant pitching coach role is Jim Brower. And Jim, I think, played for 11 or 12 different teams in the big leagues. He's coached with Kansas City and the Chicago Cubs to help out Mel. So, and Jim will be in charge of kind of our game planning. So really trying to create a better ratio player to coach on the pitching side. It seems for years you've had, you know, for your position players, 12 or 13 guys, you got like 4 or 5 position player coaches, hitting coach, you got infield, outfield coach, base running, and the pitching is like one pitching coach with 12 guys. So just to make much sense. So we're trying to balance that out and hopefully get more out of our pitchers.
Well, you know, you've got a few new faces. Clearly, you know, pitching's got to be something that you're, that if anything keeps you awake at night, that's probably it. But we got a chance to meet Ryan Healy and D. Gordon. And, I mean, you've got to be like, you're very excited about what those guys can bring to the table. Maybe your thoughts about what you see those guys doing.
Well, D. Gordon, he's been in the league for a while, and he's got some track record. This guy has hit 300. He's been a gold glover at second base. Obviously, we're going to move him to the outfield. He's stolen 60 bases last year. He adds a lot to the top of our lineup as far as a disruptor on the bases and what he can do there. We saw the value of that last year. You know, Dyson brought some of that to us. Hopefully, you know, D has a track record of being more consistent. He can play every day. and where he's at in his career really going to be big. Love the addition of Ryan Healy. I think his fans get to know him. He's a very energetic guy. He's going to play with a little chip on his shoulder and show his emotions on his sleeve, which I think fans appreciate. They can connect with those type of players. And our lineup is as deep as anybody's in the league. Pitching, you know, is going to be talked about a lot, where we're at there. I really like the strength of our bullpen and the depth of our bullpen. Hopefully having David Phelps healthy the whole year, along with us signing Juan Nicasio. Eddie Diaz has another year under his belt. Nick Vincent, if he can do anything close to what he did last year, would be awesome. So, you know, starting pitching, we're going to need guys to pitch innings. Stay healthy will be the key there.
Scott Service is our guest here on the Hot Stove. And let's talk about kind of some conversations that it sounds like you and Jerry have had about maybe looking at baseball a little differently, right? This idea that maybe a six-man rotation is an okay thing for a stretch of time. The schedule is favorable in the beginning part of the season with off days. How are you guys going about kind of, this is a game that's been around for over 100 years, and you guys are, it sounds like, looking at this and maybe asking some real questions about, you know, maybe we can do things a little bit differently, and that's an okay thing.
Yeah, the game constantly evolves. We see it, you know, starting pitchers nowadays don't go as deep into games. There's more emphasis put on bullpen guys and different roles there. But looking at our starting pitching, because we do have a lot of off days early in the season, I doubt that you'll see us break camp with six starters. But I do think there might be a point during the season to give maybe an extra day rest for Mike Leake, for James Paxton, for Felix Hernandez. Could be very valuable as the season plays out. So, you know, we're certainly open to everything. We've talked a lot about it. You know, you need to have the right guys to put in there. You can't just fire a guy in there who maybe not be ready for it, or, you know, every extra start you give that six starter, you might be taking one away from James Paxton. So you've got to balance that, but it's something we certainly talked about. It's something that's getting talked about by a lot of teams in baseball, and trying to keep our guys healthy, and the guys do seem to respond a little bit better when they have that extra day of rest once in a while.
Another way teams are going is using more bullpen, sometimes just not going that third time through the rotation. How do you get a bullpen ready for that?
Well, I think it's really important to have guys that can go more than just three outs. And I think when we acquired Juan Nicasio, and I was with Juan in the Dominican about 10 days ago, and one of the first questions I asked him is, you know, you're okay four or five outs? He goes, oh, no problem, Skip. I pitch every day. I'm like, that's exactly what I want to hear.
He's enormous, isn't he?
He's a big guy. Yeah, he's very physical. Big guy, he's put together, and he's starting to figure things out a little bit later in his career, and I think we got him at a good time. But, you know, to your point, Shannon, your question is, you got to have guys that can just do more than just get you three outs. And, you know, David Phelps has a history of doing that. You know, Nicasio can do that. Pazos can do that. Other guys, Nick Vincent's more suited just for the three outs. We've seen that and kind of how he's built. So understanding your personnel, trying to get them in spots that they can be consistent and then be able to bounce back day after day.
When you look at the rotation, I mean, we've mentioned Leake and Felix and Pax, and, of course, health is going to be a monumental thing for this year, and I know that that's clearly what's in the minds when you think about the top of the rotation. Of course, Leake, he's a 30-start machine. Do you see competition in the 4 and 5, or do you see the competition, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Rossman because I thought he was terrific, but do you see that as a mix of competition in the 4 or 5, or do you think the competition's in the 5?
I think more of the competition's probably in the 5. Okay. We really like what Rossman did last year. Okay. I thought he was outstanding when we acquired him, and once we got him stretched out a little bit because he was coming from the bullpen in Tampa, but getting him comfortable, I was really impressed with what he did. I think, you know, in the 5-hole, you know, you've got Marco Gonzalez that we acquired, Andrew Moore, Ariel Miranda, guy who pitched a lot for us last year. You know, we need one of those guys to step up and kind of grab hold of that. And competition's a good thing. I don't think you should ever go into spring training and have your team totally set. We do have competition there. We got competition at backup catcher, you know, utility role, maybe fourth outfielder if Heredia is not completely healthy. So there'll be plenty of competition in spring training. But like I said, the core of our club is pretty well set.
What do you think when you think about Felix and Pax? And Pax, of course, is a monster talent. And Felix has still got the ability to be a great pitcher for a long stretch of time because he sinks the ball and he pitches the bottom of the zone. But what are you guys doing with them in specifically trying to get them stronger? Has that been a big focus? And how have they done with that this offseason?
Well, I think if guys move throughout their career, I know Paxton is dying to be able to throw a 30-start season out there because he knows if he can stay out there, the numbers are going to take care of themselves. And he's kind of at the point in the career he wants to take the next step, and it affects everything, your contract and moving forward. And, you know, we want to be the beneficiary of that 30-start season. So, you know, he has done some different things throughout probably the last year and a half to try to be a little bit more athletic. He's a big lumbering guy, and everybody loves the fact he throws so hard. But being able to make adjustments a little bit quicker, you know, finding the breaking ball earlier in games sometimes is going to be important for him. I think with Felix, where he's at in his career, is he's got to train a little bit differently. You know, he isn't the guy that he used to be as far as the fastball velocity. We're going to try to set up more of a normal spring training for Felix. In the past, Felix would kind of come into spring training and work his way into shape. He's going to be throwing a bullpen in early in spring training this year, so he doesn't have to go from 0 to 100 within about a 6 or 7 day span, because the season's coming. Oh, quick, I got to turn the dial up. So we're going to stretch it out a little bit and have more of a normal spring training with him. You know, those are two guys that are going to be key for us, keeping them healthy. But it's really important we're ready to go right out of the gate on March 29th. You know, those games in April are just as important as the games in September.
We have a few minutes left with Scott Service, Mariners skipper. You've had a chance to see D. Gordon in person. What's it looking like at center field for you?
About what I expected. The fact that it's very athletic. Obviously, he's one of the fastest guys in Major League Baseball. You never know quite how it's going to transition. I did see him work out in Orlando about 10, 11 days ago with Chris Prieto, who's been down there a couple times. You know, kind of teaching him some nuances and jumps and how to approach different things. There's nothing like game reactions, and that's going to be the thing that he's going to have to catch. He is going to stub his toe once in a while. It's going to happen. It's a whole new position for him. But I'm excited about how he goes about. His work ethic is off the chart. He's got instincts to play the game. His dad was a big leaguer. His brother's a big-time prospect with the Twins. He gets it, you know, not just in the batter's box, but how important the defense is. And he's got a lot of pride. And he's won a gold glove at second base. He wants to win a gold glove in center field, and there's no reason he can't.
Have you – I'm sure you've thought about it. Are you willing to commit yet as to how D and Segura fit in the lineup? Is that something you want to figure out in spring training? What's your thought process there?
D. Gordon's been a very effective leadoff hitter. Segura likes it in leadoff as well. I've talked to Gina, the Dominican. They know we have a good team. We have a very deep team. And it's, you know, just be in the starting nine. I think it's the key where you hit it, whether it's two or six or one or whatever. The guys understand where we're at. They want to figure out a way to make it work. Right now, I like D. Gordon at the top of the lineup.
Gotcha.
Fewer new faces this year. A lot things kind of more certain. Do you go into spring training? You've made the visits. Nelson had his little mini camp down there, too. Is it a little bit more of hit the ground running in spring training this year? Other work has been done.
Yeah, certainly. I think it's important that, you know, like I said, we don't have 11, 12, 13 new bodies that are going to be on our 25-man roster. We probably have three or four maybe at top. So not only does it help me and our coaching staff, it helps the players. They know what to expect. You know, when you're bringing in players from new organizations all the time, it takes them a while to get comfortable and let their guard down, really trust the coaching staff and trust their teammates. We don't have as much of that this year, so I am looking to hit the ground running. There's some areas we do need to improve on, one of them being base running. It's something we've talked a lot about this offseason and how to go about it and create awareness and make better decisions on the bases, and we'll spend a lot of time on it. And because the guys know how I'm wired and the rest of our coaching staff, I think we can get right after it right away.
You have a new bench coach this year, Manny Acta. This is a guy that you know very well, obviously. Is there anything that is out of the norm for you and Manny in terms of preparing for the season? Anything that you guys do one-on-one, or is it you guys have such a good relationship and know each other so well that it's just he just has a different name and a title on his business card this year?
Yeah, we do have a good relationship. Spending time with him, certainly Manny's managed in the big leagues a lot, understanding situations. I think he knows my personality pretty well. I haven't worked close together the last couple of years, and I think he admits there's things that I do that is different than what he did as a manager. But I think when we're all working together, we just want to make good decisions for our club. Put our guys in the right spots, have a lot of preparation going into games. You know, Manny will weigh heavily on that, as will Jim Brower, you know, the kind of the assistant pitching coach and helping with the game planning. He is going to have a voice along with Mel, obviously, as we go through pitching changes and trying to match it up. So the more the better. And I think that we're getting comfortable with guys and trusting. Ultimately, I have to make the final call, but I want input. You know, you want to hear from people, and I want people that are okay expressing their opinion. I got to create the right environment for those guys to feel safe expressing their opinion. I think we'll be just fine.
Hey, has Dr. Martin gone through your fridge yet? That's the only question.
Dr. Martin's not going through my fridge. No, we'll keep her focused on the players, stay out of the coach's room. But no, she's going to be a great asset for us. There's no doubt. I'm looking forward to working with her very closely.
Scott, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Mariners skipper Scott Service. We've got more coming up here on the Hot Stove. We'll hear from Rick Riz, conversations with James Pazos, and Mariners prospect Kyle Lewis from the Caravan. That's coming up after this timeout.
All things Mariners, all off-season. The Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Well, this has been so fun tonight here at Safeco Field. We are getting ever close to baseball, and the opportunity to sit down and have the guys in front of us and talk to them and see the excitement. We have talked to the skipper, Scott Servais, new Mariners Ryan Healy and D. Gordon, of course, Mike Zunino, who we've talked to throughout the last couple of seasons and had a lot of fun with that. Missing tonight is Rick Riz. Where is Rick? Well, he is on the Mariners caravan right now. In fact, I think I saw a tweet, some pictures from a gym in Bellingham, which he is, and a group of guys are talking to the kids up there right now. And Rick took the opportunity to sit down with Kyle Lewis. We had the opportunity to see him earlier today at the Hutch Award lunch. It was great to see him up and moving. And, well, he sat down with Rick and had this conversation.
Visited with Mariners outfielder, young outfield, one of the top prospects the Mariners organization and all of baseball, Kyle Lewis, as he gets ready for the 2018 season. Kyle, thanks a lot for joining us here on Hot Stove. And tell me a little bit about the off season. You've gone through a lot over the last couple of years. First round draft pick, injured, torn ACL. How's the knee? What have you been doing during the off season?
Yeah, it's been a a roller coaster for me. 2017 was a learning year for me, transitional year. And but the knee is getting back to where I want it to be, and I feel like it's there now. And so going into 2018, I'm really excited. I feel like I'm back to the position that, I know I can be at, and I'll be able to play at the level that I want to play at. And I know that I can for this next upcoming year.
You get drafted 11th pick overall by the Mariners in the June draft of 2016 out of Mercer University. What went through your mind when you heard your name called by the Seattle Mariners?
Just a lot of excitement. It was a feeling of satisfaction a little bit, feeling like I was overlooked a little bit coming up. And so, being able to get some recognition, I think for me, really just fueled my fire. And, I wanted to continue to strive for more accolades like that.
How did you wind up at Mercer? Tell me a little bit about this baseball powerhouse that you came from.
Well, I played basketball a lot in high school as well. Didn't really apply myself to baseball, on the level that most of the people my age did. Fell behind a little bit in the travel ball circuit, didn't play a lot of travel ball. When I finally started to pop and started to get my recognition on most of the schools, had already moved on to the younger classes they were trying to get. So I only had a few offers, come in because I was sort of late, signed during my senior season. Mercer, I felt like it was a comfortable environment, and they were going to give me the opportunity to play. So, you go where you can play.
Your numbers just skyrocketed from your first year to your second year, I think, to your third year. What happened during that time where you became Kyle Lewis that third year to become the top collegiate player in the nation?
Just really applying myself and watching countless hours of video. Really, I watched video every night on the top MLB players, and then, I would just go in the cage and try to apply myself to that. And I think watching the game from a different perspective, before I used to just watch as a fan, and then I started to watch as a student, as if they were trying to teach me personally. And that really took me a long way, honestly.
Kyle, you're such a talented outfielder, and you can run, you can go get the ball, and obviously you can hit. How much did you get a chance to visit with Ken Griffey Jr. in the minor leagues? Because I know Jr. visits with the kids in the system, and what did that mean for you as a young outfielder?
Yeah, I've been able to visit with him a few times, and main thing I pick up from him is just the determination. He has dealt with countless injuries throughout his own career, still to be mentioned as one of the greatest ever, regardless of how many injuries and regardless to have over 600 home runs. Is like, for me, that gives me reassurance, with me having an injury, that really doesn't stop you. You got to keep working. It's how bad you really want it. And that's the biggest thing when I visit with him that he always reminds me, is it's how bad do you want it.
As a kid growing up in Georgia, I'm going to take a wild guess here. Who was your favorite ball player growing up as a kid?
Chipper Jones for me coming up. Yeah,
right,
man.
That's all right. Let's go to the Hall of Fame.
I liked Andrew as well. Both of those guys were when I was, a young guy. And then as I got a little older, Adam Jones. Recently, I've been watching Ken Griffey videos, man.
Going into spring training this year, what would be a good spring and a good year for Kyle Lewis, putting the past behind you, the injury and all the rehab and everything? What would a good 2018 be for Kyle Lewis?
A successful 2018 for me is just a healthy slate, really learning about myself as a player on a large scale, being able to put together 100-plus games and really be able to figure out myself. And I think if I can do those two things, my talents will show. The sky's the limit after that.
Tell you what, young man, we can't wait to see you here. We just want you to get healthy, stay healthy, and one day you're going to put on a Mariners uniform. We know that that's going to happen. Thanks a lot for being our guest. Thanks a lot for helping out in the caravan as we head north to Vancouver, British Columbia, and we wish you all the best. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that was Kyle Lewis with Rick Riz. And real quick here, Bill, I mean, I thought he was going to say health would be the number one thing
right.
for next year. He's beyond that. He's ready to go, it sounds
Yeah,
like.
I know. We've been just inundated with these young players with great focus and great work ethic, and he's certainly one of those guys. And, yes, it is troubling, and he had a significant injury, and it wasn't easy. Lots of ebbs and starts, but you can tell he's bright, he's driven. These things are going to – he's going to get past it, plus he has a lot – of talent. We already know that. And sometimes injuries, maybe sometimes are better to happen sooner rather than later. So maybe he's gotten that one thing out of the way. And what injuries do to you? They make every day count. They make everything you do count. It changes the way you think about your game because you took a lot for granted prior to that. And I know he will not do that again in his career.
Now we cannot wait to see him on the field. Another young Mariner who's on the caravan right now, I know, is one that you enjoyed watching, and I think it's going to be key. I think that full year in the big leagues was big for him last year. He's going to be a key part of the bullpen. It's James Pazos, and he sat down with Rick as well.
Well, a chance to visit with Mariners reliever James Pazos here in the Mariners caravan. Great to have you here in Seattle. What's the offseason been like for you?
Well, thanks. It's great to be here. It's been an incredible offseason. You know, after an incredible year with an incredible opportunity coming over here, it was an absolute blessing. The offseason's been the same. Just been trying to get down to work and trying to come back stronger than ever.
2017, a lot of pitchers came through here. You were one of the consistent guys down there in the bullpen, hard-throwing left-hander. What did you take from last year? What was the biggest lesson that you learned from last year being your first full year?
I think the biggest lesson that I learned is I'm still learning. I feel like every time I went out on the mound, there was something new that came up or something new that I figured out or learned about either myself or the game. Just knowing that I'm never going to be complete. There's always stuff to improve. There's always things to get better with.
I interviewed Tom Seaver many years ago after he won his 300th game, and I asked him the same question. He said the same answer as you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
After 20 years pitching in the big leagues. Honest to goodness, he said, Rick, I'm still learning.
Wow.
And it's you continually evolve, don't you, as a pitcher or as a player?
You do, yeah. You know, like I said, every time out there is different. You know, whether you have your stuff or you don't, you're always going to have to make an adjustment, and I think that's part of the game. It's pretty cool that I had the same similar quotes. Yeah, I think that's just the large lesson of the game, is it's ever-changing.
How did you guys handle all that the turnover last year? You were down there all the time, and Mark Zipchinski, and Nick Vincent, and Edwin Diaz, who's a really come on like a comet the last couple of years. Just a couple of years ago, he's a starter in the minor leagues and becomes a reliever and then becomes the closer of the ball club. How do you guys handle that last year? Because at certain points during the course of the year, you guys were one of the best bullpens in baseball.
I mean, I think it's just a testament to those guys. Vinny, Zepp, and Edwin were all critical leaders in that pen all year long, and they were there all year long. It seemed like Vinny had the ball every night. Zepp was getting out of jams every other night, you know, and Eddie was shutting it down at the end. So I think, you have all that change and roster, all those roster moves. It's you need a couple of guys back there that are always going to be there and always going to be consistent.
Take a look at this bullpen, James, and there's, of course, Eddie and then Vincent Zipchinski, David Phelps, Tony Zick, Altavilla, you. Now Juan Nicasio is coming over, who is, a veteran pitcher. All these guys, maybe except one, throw about 95 to 100 miles an hour. And you throw 97, 98, and you got the great slider. When did that come around for you, the velocity and the command?
The velocity's always sort of, been there. It's something that I've been working on, body-wise, trying to figure out where my strength needs to be to help me throw as hard as I can, honestly. And then, the slider comes from working at it. All through the minor leagues, I didn't have one. And then I come over here. I don't know if it's throwing Arizona spring balls or what. I just felt something clicked. For the most part of the year, it was there. I was able to find it when it wasn't.
Like most guys, James, were you a starter, then worked your way into the bullpen, and when did that transition happen for you, and how long did it take to make that transition where you were comfortable with the new role?
So growing up, playing baseball, I was always a starter, always going out, complete games, like Little League and stuff, throwing whatever, 70 pitches or whatever it was. And up through high school, I started, and then my junior college, I started. And then when I went to University of San Diego, they put me in the bullpen, and that first year was kind of a struggle, but I had a great pitching coach there, Tyler Kincaid, and that's my second year, my junior year there. I really, really settled into that relieving role and was able to get going every day type thing, just kind of honing that in the minor leagues. I've gotten used to being able to get ready quick and get ready every day and throw when I don't have everything that I have. It's worked out pretty well so far.
It's worked out very well to have you in that bullpen. Visiting with James Pazos. And James, who's the most challenging guy you wanted to face and ended up facing? Who was that one guy that before the ball game you said, I'm looking forward to face this guy?
This year, honestly, was such a roller coaster, such a tornado that you know, it was every time out there, I felt like it was that one guy that, yeah, I got to get this guy out. I remember a couple of years ago when I facing David Ortiz, I really wanted to get him out. It was his last year. He put one off the wall off me, and then next time I actually got him out and got the win in that game. So that was pretty cool. But last year was just such a blur. It's hard to pick out one hitter.
Big Poppy would be a heck of a challenge. After what you guys went through last year, and you guys were so good down there in the bullpen, what do you want to tell the fans about the 2018 season as you try to get to the playoffs?
I think this year we're coming back stronger and you know, a little bit more together as a team. Last year we had a lot of new guys, a lot of turnover, but I feel like we have the same core group of guys this year, and we all got along great. And hopefully it shows out on the field, because I know that we want to win here.
It's going to be nice to see number 47 coming in out of the bullpen. By the way, how'd you settle on number 47?
They just gave it to me. Just accepted it. Yeah, took it and ran with it.
Well, I'll tell you what, just like the roll down in the bullpen. James, good luck this spring. Have a lot of fun. Enjoy the caravan up in Vancouver, British Columbia. And we're going to see a lot of you here in 2018. Thanks a lot for the visit.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That is James Pazos with Rick Riz, currently on the Mariners caravan. And Bill Pazos, it seems like he took such steps this year. And the first thing, and I saw this early on in the season, this guy is just no panic out there.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. I mean, this is a great find by Jerry Dipoto. He's super arm. You can listen to him. He's very articulate. He's very focused. And we saw him brilliant. And then, you know, he had a little inconsistency. I think they did a lot for him mechanically in spring training. He was a little bit kind of one direction, back the other direction when he threw, and Mel straightened him out. And so I think some of that, you know, you're acquiring that mechanical change as you go through the season. So there's little things that he will get better at that will allow him to be more consistent. He has a big arm. But, you know, he gets underneath the ball sometimes. I think he's going to be better at that. The slider will be better. The fastball command will get better. I think he's going to be an integral part of this team. You know, he's valuable. He will get better at coming in and get one guy out, but he could pitch three innings. You know, he could be a guy that pitches through the lineup. So that's great. So I see him as a valuable guy that's going to get better.
Yeah, that versatility is going to be big in the things that they want to do with the pitching this year. So thanks to Rick Riz for doing some extra duty on the caravan. He's had a long day. He did the Hutch Award lunch, got on a bus with the guys, heading north right now, and still giving us these great interviews. Now, when we come back, we are going to hear a little bit about the news of the day. It was not the news we wanted to get, but you know what? I don't think it was all bad news. I think this thing is moving in the right direction. Yep, we're talking Edgar with a wonderful Gary Hill piece after the break.
Back to more of The Hot Stove on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Well, today was the day I think we all had it circled on our calendars, the Hall of Fame announcements. Edgar Martinez, quite a candidacy, saw a huge jump in where he had been in the past, jumped from 58.6% last year to 70.4%, just felt shy of the Hall of Fame. One more year, 20 votes short this year, but he's going to do it next year. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it is going to happen. And on that note, Gary Hill put together a wonderful piece of why Edgar Martinez belongs in the Hall of Fame.
And John Wetland one more time set. And here comes the 2-2 pitch to Edgar Martinez now. And a fastball swung on and hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back, and it is get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami. And the Mariners lead it 10-6.
The great Edgar Martinez spent 18 years in the major leagues, putting together a stellar big league career, all with one team, the Seattle Mariners. And now the Hall of Fame voting community catching up to what Seattle Mariner fans already knew.
And now Anderson has sent the pitch to Edgar. Swung on, line drive, base hit right center field. He's unbelievable. He is muchísimo caliente, Edgar Martinez.
Two American League batting titles, three American League on-base percentage titles, five Silver Slugger Awards, five Designated Hitter of the Year Awards, and seven All-Star Game appearances.
At the pitch, swung on and belted deep to center field. Bernie Williams looks up, and this will fly, fly away. Edgar Martinez has just given the Mariners a 5-2 lead
The numbers are incredible. A 300-plus batting average, a 400-plus on-base percentage, 300-plus home runs, 500-plus doubles, and 1,000-plus base on balls. When Edgar Martinez retired, only Stan Musial, Rogers Hornsby, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Ted Williams finished as high in every category.
He was such a tough at-bat. If you made any mistake, he really crushed you. And if you executed your pitch, he would only get a single. So it's like, and I'm not the only guy. There's a lot of guys that we all raise our hands, especially the lefties. You know, Edgar was just a very difficult guy for us to face.
Former teammate and foe, Mark Langston.
The pitch on the way to Martinez. Swung on!
And longtime big league pitcher Bill Krueger sums up the importance of Edgar Martinez.
When you step across the field and you're on the opposing team, this is a great litmus test. Is that you could go through the Rodriguez's and the Buhners and the Tino Martinez's and the Kenny Griffey's. The guy they were most worried about was Edgar Martinez. He was the one that they feared with runners in scoring position.
Edgar Martinez defined the position of designated hitter. So much so, the award for best designated hitter every season is now the Edgar Martinez Award.
Because of your record on this night, the designated hitter award for the American League will be forever be named the Edgar Martinez Award. Congratulations.
And the man who has won the most Edgar Martinez Awards, David Ortiz, he knows where Edgar belongs.
To me, he should be Hall of Famer. He should be inducted in the Hall of Fame a while ago. It will happen regardless. I hope so. And it made me proud, you know, just the fact that they kind of compare my name to an amazing player like Edgar used to be.
And Edgar was meticulous with his craft.
He was the first guy I ever saw that actually had a scale in his locker to weigh each individual bat. I've never seen that before, but it had to be 31 ounces on the button, or it was a batting practice bat. One of the things I thought was really impressive is the first time I watched him take live batting practice with a donut on his bat. The eye exercises that he used to do in front of his locker, I don't know, a lot of people don't know it, but he had some issues with his eyes, and so he had to strengthen the muscles to be able to control it at all times in the game. So he would have to sit there before games and do these eye exercises that he was religious about it.
Edgar, his on-base percentage of .418 is the fourth highest all-time for right-handed hitters.
Edgar, the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever played with.
And of course, he authored a signature moment in Mariners history and Major League Baseball playoff history with the double.
And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on and lined down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh, my.
And perhaps the only thing that matches his greatness on the field, his greatness off the field. The winner of the 2004 Roberto Clemente Award, the fabulous Martinez Foundation, his connection to the Pacific Northwest as he played every game in a Mariners uniform. Edgar Martinez, one of the all-time greats.
So perhaps Edgar has passed our way for the last time. And listen.
You know a piece is good when it gives you goosebumps.
Oh, Gary, very good, Gary. That was outstanding.
That was absolutely fantastic. When I heard Ken Griffey Jr. saying that he is the greatest right-handed hitter, that was from Cooperstown. That's where he said that. Goosebumps alert right there. Bill, you look at it, he didn't get in today, but you know what? I am up for telling everybody how great he was for another year. He's going to get in. We can make this case all day long. There's no question.
There's not enough time to talk about the greatness of Edgar Martinez, so that's the blessing of having to wait. And he's had to wait a lot for his accolades, and he's done it the right way his whole life, and he's clearly the best right-hand hitter in the game when I played. And I will say he and Paul Mulder, and then there's everybody else. Mm. And that's pretty good company. And like I said in the quote, you know, that was a murderer's low lineup. And I'm telling you that teams worried about Edgar Martinez in the clutch, in the big situations, with guys on base. Inside the game, they know this guy's a Hall of Famer. We just got to get the rest of the crowd that's not quite figured it out yet to do the right thing and vote him in.
Yep, and it's, as you point out, all the more Edgar appreciation for us.
That's
right.
We can
spend a winter doing
it.
It's what we do.
Because we can't get it out of him. We have to do it for him.
We're happy to do it. We've got just under 2 minutes to go. I mean, quite an impressive array of players that we have come. Some old favorites that we love talking to, some new ones that we got to know, and, man, I'm getting excited.
Well, you can understand. I mean, player profile means something. When you listen to D. Gordon, you listen to Ryan Healy, and Mitch Haniger is off the charts. We already know about him. And Mike Zunino is poised to be something else as a power-hitting catcher. So I think there's a lot to be said about the way these guys are presenting themselves, the enthusiasm they have for playing in Seattle. And this team is a kind of a sleeper. I think that everybody's not thinking so much about them, but this lineup is scary, and they've made some nice additions. And if D. Gordon runs like we think he's going to run, teams are going to have a lot of problems with this team. And then we just have to, you know, rub the rosary beads or whatever we got to do, the rabbit's feet, whatever it is, the four-leaf clovers on health, and this team can be a lot better than maybe people are thinking.
I think it is great that they're going into spring training with so fewer question marks, a more set lineup. There aren't going to be the introductions. They can hit the ground running this year, and they'll need to. They've got to start hot this year.
Yeah, and the offense can be really, really special. I think the bullpen is experienced with a little bit of depth added, and that's going to help buffer, I think, maybe the area that they're a little bit unsure of at the end of the rotation. But we have to pay attention to the fact that they have two very talented pitchers that need to stay healthy, and that's Paxton and Felix. And if they can do that, this team is there.
And we heard Scott Service talking about it, but there are a lot of things that you won't see out on the field that'll happen behind the scenes in the high performance department, and then also the added coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that you take nothing to chance, and you invest in technology, invest in what's new on the horizon as far as health is concerned and performance and training. I think you have to do that. That's the way the game's moving. And when you come off a season where you have a lot that didn't go right health-wise, you need to do that.
You getting ready? You ready?
Oh, I'm already there. Yeah, we're ready to go.
All right. Yeah. A little sunshine down in
yeah,
Arizona.
That'd be nice.
Got a
yes.
couple of weeks to go until that, but you can tell every guy you sit down in front of you, they're ready to go. They had their jerseys on today, and they're kind of in that time where they don't know what to do with themselves. It's the holidays are past, and it's time to start thinking about baseball. They are well into their workouts. They want to get on the field with their team and see where this is going to go. It has been a great night here at Safeco Field tonight. A lot of fun on this show. So many guests. I want to thank Aaron Goldsmith, who ran away about a half an hour ago. He's on some other duties at this affair. Bill Krueger, thanks for sitting in with us tonight.
Oh, it was great, Shannon. I always love coming on and doing this show with you guys. And I know you're going to work hard down to spring training, and we're all going to get this thing going and get it off on the right foot.
And we will do the Hot Stove Show again next week. Good night, everybody. Mm-hmm.